Before we get to part two of the Brian Stith podcast, we just want to remind you guys about sponsorship opportunities with Locker Room Access. We can put together a package to help your brand and help with the Wahoo Athletics alumni. T-Dubs, what else you got for us?
People listening, make sure you subscribe on YouTube. Search Locker Room Access. You've got us on Spotify, Apple. We added Stitcher. We added Google Podcasts. I think Pocket Podcast is another one we're on. Check us out on the forum. Who's got next? Posting a recruiting update. We've got the Jay Willie Show coming up. We got a lot of content coming up. If you have any questions, concerns, jump on the forum, ask away. Fresh and Mark and some of the guys are always on there. We might do a player Q&A soon too. What do you think about that, Fresh?
I think it's a great idea.
We might have a current player on there soon. We'll figure out who. If you want to make suggestions, hit us up. DM, Instagram, Twitter.
We have to make sure that people don't forget who our current roster is. We've been going so far back.
Yeah,
that's into the history of Virginia.
Pandemic. Yeah, pandemic issues, right? We'll get a little more focused on the current team and where we stand here. Starting with the Jay Willie Show, it was cool for me to hear from my hero, which was awesome. Appreciate that, Fresh.
Yeah, man,
enjoy everyone. So what about watching The Last Dance for you these last few weeks? Have you been watching it like everyone else and reliving those moments?
Man, when I went to Chicago and back then they had a hotel, and on one floor they had all the NBA teams, and any team that was interested in you, you would have your little card and you would go into that hotel. All of the doors in the hotel room were open. So they would have like the Atlanta Hawks, Boston Celtics, Chicago Bulls, all the way down the hall. Uh-huh. So you would have the teams who were interested in interviewing you. And the Chicago Bulls was one of the teams that wanted to interview me. And I went in the room and there was Jerry Krause and, the coaches. And they said, Stith, we love you a lot, but we don't think we are able to draft you. And I was like, sir, if you don't mind, I said, I'm a little confused. If you like me, why wouldn't you take the chance of drafting me? They said, because Michael Jordan destroys the confidence of any rookies that we bought in. They said that we have to bring, in the two-guard position, we have to bring in a veteran, somebody that can handle the deadly onslaught by Jordan. And I was sitting there, I was like, man, this motherfucker crazy. And, that stuck with me, right? That stuck with me.
Yeah, how can it not?
When I watched The Last Dance and just saw how intense Jordan was in practice every single day, I wondered to myself, man, if I was thrust into that situation as a freshman, could I have handled that? Because this was after they had won their first championship.
Right.
And he was hungry, man. And, could he have waited for me to develop? Those were the things that I was more interested in, the practices and things that were going on. And I could just see myself having that conversation with Krause, and I wanted to prove to myself that, yeah, I could have played on that team. So when I looked at it, that's the lens I was looking at it through.
Right.
Yeah.
And what was your thought? You could have done it. You would have helped guide them. Of
course. Oh man, I definitely thought I could have done it, but
I thought you would have fit in really well with them personally.
Yeah, no doubt, man. But it would have been, it would have, I wouldn't have been great at the beginning, but I'm the type of person that's not going to quit. But I thought that as the season went along, I would have studied, I would have learned, and I think I would have had a better and more prosperous NBA career. Right. Because being in Denver, we were a young team. Right. We had nobody to
draw wasn't the whole team. Yeah.
And everything that I earned in the NBA, man, I earned on my own. And I look at, other players like Cuba Davis, who had a better NBA career because he played with Patrick Ewing. I look at Rick Fox, who had a better NBA career because he played with Shaq and Kobe. I look at Robert Horry, who had a better NBA career because he played with the Dream. Damn, man, give me one of them players, man. Maybe I got 6-7 rings. Right. You follow what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
But, you know, that's just how it goes, man. And but, you know, in my quiet town now, those are the things that I reflect upon.
Yeah, because to me, it would have been the perfect compliment because you – like, Jordan was about the game, right? And it seemed like his – no, I wouldn't say the guys he picked on were those that weren't as – serious definitely. About the game, right?
And it, those like, guys that weren't committed and yeah. weren't dedicated. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, you had to worry about me drinking and smoking. I didn't do that. Man, you know, I don't go clubbing a lot. You know, I don't do that. You know, so man, I was all in. I was invested, man, in my career. And you know, it would have been beautiful.
Amazing. Yeah, we have this one segment where what if Jordan went to Virginia because he talked about it, but maybe we need to do a What if Stiff went to the Bulls with Jordan? Jeez, we need that segment. That's yeah, crazy.
Sure. I'm starting to. I know he passed away, but I'm starting to question Jerry Krause's intelligence after watching The Last Dance and hearing that he thought Brian Stith was gonna lose his confidence playing with MJ.
Exact well, look, opposite. You can't argue with the man. They won 6 championships, man.
No, that's I'm not arguing with that. Man.
I guess for him, it's a gamble, right? If he's like, hey, just in broad speaking terms, if Jordan tears down every rookie, I don't want to bring in a player that Jordan is just going to hurt their confidence. I mean, I got it, kind of get it, but at the same time, it's like, bro, you need to.
I didn't, again, you know, being, you know, just coming into the league, you know, as a rookie, man, you yeah. just don't understand what he's saying.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because you just haven't seen that before. And, you know, right. the dude is questioning your manhood. I mean, what are you talking about?
he definitely did not watch the Notre Dame game, be nice, yeah. or a lot of those games.
Here's the next photo. Oh, this is Chris Jackson, hands over. But we were talking about this earlier. He was the first guy to really protest the national anthem.
This is the Colin Kaepernick of our era, man.
Yep.
And you know what's funny about this? Man, Mark Moo have been doing that all year. And he had been doing it the year before.
Right.
But it took one fan to notice. And that fan called into a radio show and made a big deal about it. And so management went to Mark Moo. And they was like, look, Mark Moo, all you have to do is just pray in the tunnel. They will turn the lights off. Walk out in the tunnel, pray, and when they turn the lights back on, just walk back out on the floor. And Mark Moo said, no, I did it all last year. I've been doing it all season. I'm not changing.
Right.
And, man, just one thing snowballed into the next where they say, why are you praying during the flag? And I remember him going on Oprah and saying that the flag represented tyranny and oppression. And it's funny that we just finished talking about Jordan because the next game we played was in Chicago. And man, when we arrived at the hotel, it was about 1 o'clock in the morning. I want to say we had just played Milwaukee and we were coming in town late. Man, it probably was 2,000 people outside of our hotel. There were so many news cameras there that it looked like broad daylight from all of the cameras lights that were outside our hotel. Wow. And we didn't understand the gravity of the statement until we arrived at Chicago at the hotel. They had the VFW, they were out there. And when we got off the bus, everybody was singing the national anthem, man. It was ridiculous. And then when we got in the gym that night, man, that place was rocking. It was electric. I have still to this day, I have never heard the national anthem sang that loudly as it was in Chicago Stadium that game.
Yeah, I remember that. That was so crazy.
Yeah.
That whole...
We were traveling with Secret Service agent with nickel-plated Glocks. because we were receiving death threats and the team was receiving death threats. Wow. And that's when it got serious. At first, the anger was directed at Mahmoud. And then the anger went from being directed at Mahmoud to being directed at the Nuggets. And that's when Mahmoud's teammates and I, we felt unsafe. And, you know, that's when we addressed it with management. And then they eventually ended up trading Mahmoud to Sacramento.
I think that for me, I'll just, you know, for me personally, I just remember hearing that and thinking about, okay, this is a free country, and yet how come this guy can't do, you know, that was at that age where I was just like questioning a lot of stuff. And that was just like, wait a minute, it's a free country, and yet this guy can't do this. Like, I'm confused. Anyway, that was just really interesting and eye-opening, I think, for the NBA. And people don't really talk about this one as much, which I feel like it should make its rounds again.
Yeah. If he had never made that statement on Oprah, then I think he would have been okay.
And then this next one.
Fire.
Mama D rocking your stiff jersey. Did you see that? You saw this because you responded to him with it. But what were your thoughts when you saw it? Like, old school meets new school, Virginia love.
Oh, man, that's just love, man. I know that, man, these guys right here, man, had such a platform at the time, man. They were number one in the country. They were kicking behind. And for him to recognize, you know, my jersey by putting it on, man, that was just special, man. I mean, that's what makes UVA basketball special, man. Yeah. It's a brotherhood. And I'm just glad to be a part of it.
That's pretty cool. And then here
he doesn't fill it out as nice as you do. Be nice. You need to get that John Gannon working.
Here's this next photo. You go to the Celtics, and we didn't even talk about you taking less money to stay in Denver. We'll leave that one for later. But you come into Stiff, and then there's the Stiff jersey, Celtics green, Rick Pitino, and then now famous Heron. With all of his talks, what do you remember about this moment and this probably interesting moment in your life, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, it really was, and it's interesting because the Denver Nuggets traded me to Boston from one of my old teammates, Robert Pack. You know, that's the irony of it all, but you know, going to Boston, it was great because. You know, I understood the history of the game, and I had played with a former teammate whose father is an absolute legend, for the Celtics.
Yep.
And just having an opportunity to be able to go there, and because I had a relationship with John Havlicek, I had a relationship with his son. You know, I thought it was pretty cool. Chris Heron was a friend of mine. You know, he had his struggles. You know, we had, you know, deep conversations when we were in Denver, and I try to be a mentor for him, but you know, he was fighting something a lot more, a lot deeper than I could help him with. But you know, he was a great guy. He had a big heart. You just hate to see a person like that, man, struggle with something off the court as deep as what he had to deal with.
Yo, B, can I was always a Chris Heron fan, and I always heard, tell me if I'm wrong, that when he was with Denver, I think he said that was the best he'd ever been emotionally, you know, with his issues, et cetera. I assume you were a big part of that. He said you guys really kept him close in Denver in one of his talks.
Well, at the time, you know, our general manager came in and explained the deal. They explained to what happened to him in college, and they told us that, you know, they wanted us to keep an eye on him. And we tried to do that, man. And, you know, he shared some personal stories with me that really opened my eyes, man, because I had never, I didn't know anybody who dealt with drug abuse. And I didn't know of anybody, man, that traveled that road. So when he opened my eyes to him, you know, I went, and I did some reading and some research to equip myself to be able to better help him. And it just made me a better man, a better overall, you know, teammate. And, you know, we tried to be a great support system for Chris. And, man, and the dude could ball. I mean, oh, man, yeah, he could play, man. He was fearless, bro. I mean, he used – and you could see, man, those days when he was well, man, he would go and practice, man, and he would kick ass. And, but you could see those days that, you know, he didn't have it all together, man. It was like two totally different people, man. And just hate to see that he didn't have that balance in his life at that time.
But you talk about somebody who turned it into something positive. Yes. Now his message is out there and he's sharing the story, and it's probably – hitting a lot of people who are going through this, right? Especially in a time like this, so many people have, you know, issues and mental addiction is just, I think, an issue in general, regardless of what it is. Yes. It's kind of cool to see him traveling the world and doing what he's doing to save the world.
Yes.
Here's this next one.
There they are. There they go.
Young. This is early. Hey, talk about your decision. Go back. I know. I remember you reading about you making the choice to go back and become a coach at Brunswick. And
I mean, when I left at the time, you had to understand what was going on around professional sports and with the families and stuff off of the field or off of the court. There were so many high profile deaths of prominent athlete's son. I remember Dr. J had lost his son. They found him in the bottom of a lake. I remember Andy Reid, his son had gotten put in jail because of drug addiction. And, you know, there were other incidents that were going on in Denver, you know, with the Broncos and with the Nuggets, where I was a part of. And my wife and I were having conversations, and we were like, you know, the most important thing to us were our kids, and we didn't want to see them go down that road. And because when I retired, Bernie Bickerstaff offered me a NBA assistant coach's job when he was with the Hornets. The Nuggets offered me a radio job, a TV job, and they also offered me if I wanted to be a part of their front office. So if I had just dove right into my professional journey right after I retired, then my kids would have been thrust into that pool of being at risk. And we didn't want that. So we decided to move back to Lawrenceville and provide a stable upbringing for Brandon, VJ, Bree, and Brooke so they can grow up around family, grow up around grandmas and grandpas, and give them a solid foundation. And, you know, when I look at my kids, you know, today, man, I think we made the right choice. You know, man, I had made, you know, a lot of money, and, you know, how much is enough? And, you know, we just felt that the price of my family was worth more than having an all-American job.
Fresh has a story about when you were moving back home. What was that, Fresh?
Yeah, so I was told when you moved back home, did you build a house? Well, I've never been down.
Yeah, I did.
I think you built a house. BJ was telling about the 100 acres he had to mow every day, et cetera. But one of your homeboys used to always be in Virginia. He's like, yo, Fresh, they're building this house down there, right? And the whole street thinks we're getting a super Walmart in Emporia, Virginia. Motherfucker's so big. They thought you were bringing a super Walmart. They're like, nah, that's just a stiff house.
Don't believe that, man. They embellishing that story. Hey, look, man. I had, you know, playing in the NBA, you got a chance to see a lot of big homes, man. And if you were to build my house in New York City or Los Angeles, it would probably be $20 million. Man,
right, I get it.
When I have so many uncles and cousins who are contractors, everybody wanted to be a part, man. People just donated. Man. They just donated their time, man, and the services to help build my house, man. It was
crazy.
It was like a family event, man. And I mean, it was great, man, because everybody felt like, okay, man, you know, Brian did it, man. This is our way to repay him. And man, I'm telling you, man. They saved me so much money. And, you know, that's home, man. That's one of the reasons why I wanted my kids to be able to move back so they can get rooted and grounded and have that upbringing that Barber and I had.
Yeah, so, and BJ told us a story too. He's like, I was asking about growing up in the NBA. Did he realize it? He's like, man, I didn't really realize it until we moved to Cleveland. And then I knew my dad's job was. And he was like, then I figured out, damn, B. He's like, you're the cheapest dude in the whole NBA. Like, my dad's a pro basketball player. He's like, I'm wearing Brandon's, like, you know, old pants and shit until I'm like 15 years old.
Hey, Fresh, you know how we do it, man. We got a summer job in June, and that money lasts us throughout the year.
Yo, man. Brian, that money might as well have been an NBA contract for us back then.
Hey, man,
$5,000 in your pocket.
But man, you saw so many guys, man, that just went through so much money in the NBA, and we were determined that weren't gonna be us. I mean, I'm just fortunate, man, because essentially, you know, for almost 20 years, man, I didn't work. And it was because Barbara and I, man, we built a nest egg where we could just go back and take care of our family. And man, we survived the tech crash in early 2000, depression in 2008. And now we're going through another depression, man. So, man, we've been blessed, man. God has given us favor, and I'm just thankful for that.
I was going to say, walk us through the first Brandon first getting recruited by UVA. And I know the pressure of another Stith going to UVA. What was that like for you in terms of them making choices and thinking things through? BJ talked extensively about it, but I'd love to hear it from you.
Man, you know, I ruined my kids, man. because when they were growing up, the only thing that they wore, they didn't wear Nuggets. They didn't wear Boston Celtics, and they didn't wear Cleveland Cavaliers. They were representing the Cavaliers, UVA, right. Blue and orange.
That's right.
And every summer we came back, we would always go and visit the Leatherwoods. We would always walk around grounds. We would show them where I live. We would show them everything on campus, on grounds. And then what happened was, as they got older, then it became, man, that's where I want to go to school. And Brandon, I said, as Brandon got older, I said, Brandon, it's not about where dad went to school. It's about where you can go and create your own legacy. And Brandon understood that better. BJ probably had a box of letters. He never opened them. I mean, NC State, ACC, SEC. A-10, BJ didn't open one letter because it was only one school he wanted to go to, and that was the University of Virginia. Mm-hmm. And I tried so bad, BJ, don't close your options. Please keep your options open. And then he started throwing my words back at me. Dad, you said anything you wanted, and in life, you got to work for it. But you don't believe in me? You don't think I'm good enough to go to UVA? He started throwing all of that back in my head. Then I realized, I was like, man, if I talk this kid out of going to UVA, he would hate me forever. So basically, you know, we had to let BJ make his own decision, and he did. It was a great decision for him at the time. He found out that once he got there that, you know, the reasons he chose UVA didn't outweigh what was close to his heart. He wanted to play. He wanted to be out on the court, and he wanted to have a chance to ball. So he made a decision to leave, and the rest is history.
Yeah. I know that couldn't be easy for you to go through as alma mater, and then you're dealing with blood now. It's just – that's super complicated, and I think people underestimate that piece.
I got a question, man, because like, you played from day one at Virginia, right? And I think anywhere you went, you would have played. I don't care what Coach K said. So you never really went through that struggle. Like, a guy like me playing behind Kropp, playing behind Corey, trying to get minutes is different. Did you understand that fully, you think, for your kids? Or was that harder for you to get because
I did.
You went through?
Look, Fresh, the last thing I wanted to do, there were two things that I didn't want to do. I didn't want my kids to go to UVA because I knew the expectations and the pressure that would be placed upon them. But I had created a monster because only thing they ever watched, they went to a football game every year at UVA when we were home before we went back to whatever city I was playing in. They always went to at least one UVA basketball game. They only had orange and blue in their closet. So I almost brainwashed them, and that was my fault. Secondly, I knew going to the University of Virginia that, listen, they had Malcolm Brogdon at BJ's position. Brandon's position was loaded. I was like, and what I did was I made a list of questions. I said, what's most important to you? Is playing time most important? Because that's not going to be guaranteed your first couple of years at UVA. I asked them, I said, is winning important to you? Brandon told me the most important thing to him was playing. He didn't care if he played on a good team or a bad team. He could not sit on the bench. So when Brandon made his decision, it was his ability to get on the court as a freshman as quickly as possible. So BJ wanted to go to the highest level. The University of Virginia gave BJ everything that he ever wanted in his college decision. But once they got to campus, Brandon realized he went to East Carolina. He realized that winning was more important to him than he had given it credit.
And he realized, yep.
Yes, Old Dominion was in the same conference with East Carolina, and we beat that ass twice. And he said, Dad, you can get me out of here. Can I come play with Old Dominion?
With BJ. He threw the towel in. I'm in.
With BJ.
And you know JJ's trying to get everybody to Old Dominion.
Everybody. And, you know, Coach
Tennis, Jones, swimming, basketball.
Place for you, big fella. We got a place for you. You know, so that decision was easy. And then Brandon helped recruit BJ. Brandon was like, BJ, I'm having the time of my life. I'm playing. We winning. We having a good time. You're not playing at UVA. I didn't have to do anything. Brandon did everything, and Brandon was the one who approached me about BJ and shared to me BJ's feeling. BJ told us he loved everything about UVA except for the 40 minutes on game day. He said he just can't take it. And when he told me that, I went from being a coach to being a father and being able to rescue my son.
That's awesome. Yeah, he talked about it. He's like, obviously, he came on our podcast. He's like, I love UVA. I love UVA. What are you talking about? I'm like, it's still part of him, which is like really, really cool.
Coach Bennett, they were terrific, man. I mean, I got so much respect for what they have done for that program. So, you know, I'm just gracious, man, of everything that he's done for my family and for the basketball program.
Here's this next photo, before and after. I know you had a little scare with your health there for a while. And you said you got back in shape. You've been working on it. Where are you with that now? I know you had a
When I look at that person on the left, man, you just got comfortable, man. You know, things. You know, when I got here to Old Dominion, I didn't have a routine, a regimented schedule. And, you know, I made every excuse, the reason why I can't work out on the road, because I'm recruiting, I'm scouting, I got games. Because as a college basketball coach, if you don't make time for yourself, that's what will happen. And, you know, it took a health scare, my blood pressure going through the roof, and me had to go to the emergency room for me to have that realization. And once I had that realization, then that's what you got on the right.
NASCAR. Back in the day, I guess it was 2004, you took part in local, is it Hermie Sadler's team?
Hermie and I grew up together. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
You know, my dad was, you know, very good friends and worked for his father. And Hermie is a huge North Carolina fan. And I'm a huge UVA fan, obviously. And, you know, we always go back and forth. But Hermie had a very successful entry into NASCAR, was Rookie of the Year. And, you know, once I retired, he wanted me to team up with him and be a part of his ownership team. And that's how I got into the business. And, you know, I got into it and, you know, I lasted for a little while. But once I got into coaching, I just didn't have the time to be able to devote, you know, to the time demands, you know, what they were expecting. So I had to bow out gracefully. And I'm glad I did, man, because, you know, basketball is in my blood, you know, and NASCAR was just been something to do. But I was thankful for that opportunity.
And with all that's going on in NASCAR now today, wow, it's kind of crazy with the banning of Confederate flags. And, man, the world is changing. And then this next one, U-Haul going down. Where were you? Do you remember this? I think you got an invite, was it?
Yeah, I was there, man. Yeah. You know, tear kind of rolled down my eye. You know, Fresh, we got a lot of buckets up in there, didn't we, man?
A lot of buckets in that piece.
Had a lot of great pickup games in there, man, in the summertime. Just so many memories, man. You just hate to see it.
A lot of time in the hot tub. Shit, we lived in that piece, B.
No doubt.
That arena. That was our spot. Yeah.
As strange at times, as we're, you know, the old is replaced with the new, which is where this next photo. This is UMBC beating Virginia. What were your thoughts when that happened? Reaction? What did you watch it? Did you see it? Did you react right away, or was it a?
You know, I was kind of pissed, man, because if you remember the analysts, man, everybody, man, was basically talking it up. You know, UVA, you know, possibly could be the first number one seed to lose to a 16 seed, you know. And what it did, man, I think it just put undue pressure on the players, man, you know, because – If UVA were to play that game 10 times, they would win 9 times out of 10. That just happened to be the game that they lost. But, man, I'm telling you, man, you know, fate has a strange way of working things out, man. And, you know, nobody could have been as low as probably those players, man. I mean, the agony of defeat. And to see where, man, that team rose to a year later, man, you know, that's what movies are made of, man. And and it's a testament to Coach Bennett, how he held that program together. It's a testament to the players, you know, their willingness, man, to humble themselves and get back and work their ass off to be able to get to the mountaintop. I mean, there are so many lessons for people to learn from this UVA story. Yeah. And I'm just glad to be a small part of it.
That's the next.
Yes.
My question for you is, I know it's disappointing to have BJ go to UVA and not get playing time. And that's your alma mater. And then now you've got that entangled with this. And how, like, this got to be super complicated. And I get you, but your relationship with UVA doesn't change in terms of how all the fans love you and support you, your name's in the rafters. But how do you untangle all of that in terms of, like, this championship, like where were you in your mind? Because I know you were there in Minneapolis. My brother texted me, was like, "Oh my God, I just saw Brian down in the lobby." But how was that experience for you? Bittersweet.
How come nobody texts somebody they just saw Doug Smith in the lobby, man? It's always got to be Brian. It's always got to be Ralph.
Brian Stith.
Well, look, man. Hey, TW, the best way I can explain it, man, is this way. You know, my experiences at UVA were my experiences. BJ's experiences at UVA with his. I'm always going to be there, you know, for my son. If a UVA fan is going to ask me to choose between UVA basketball and my family, then UVA basketball is going to lose every time.
Right.
You know, that's my blood.
Right.
I hope people can separate the two. I don't have any ill feelings toward Coach Bennett, Jay Willie, who was a teammate of mine, Sanchez, Coach McKay. I love all those guys, and when I see those guys, I respect them. Those guys have a job to do. They made a decision for their basketball program that they thought was best for them, okay? We made a decision as a family that we thought was best for BJ. And the irony of this whole thing is Coach Bennett. Now we're in Minneapolis, but so was BJ. He was a part of the NABC All-Star Game. Both had a productive weekend. They both enjoyed the hell out of the weekend. So it's a win-win for Coach Bennett and UVA basketball. It was a win-win for BJ and the Stiff family.
That's awesome.
Beautiful.
And then this next one. You know, all of the players at UVA kneeling for injustice. This was obviously prior to the rally in Charlottesville. But just we talked about with you know, Chris Jackson, guys kneeling. What were your thoughts on that? Did you see this when this happened? I mean, BJ wasn't on the team at the time, but
yeah, man, I did see it, and you know, I just said, man, damn, man, my how things have changed, because if they had done that back in 1992. Shit would have been a little bit different. I remember I shot a free throw that so supposed to have been shot by Matt Blunden. The referee told me to go to the line. That's exactly what I did. And when Dean Smith brought it to the referee's attention, it was too late. And I remember people wanted to kick me out of school because I have violated the honor code. And I see players like this taking a stand. Man, 20 years ago, you know, people in Charlottesville, people would be turning over in their graves. They wouldn't allow for that. So I can see that we have made a lot of progress in 20 so years. And I'm glad to see that these young men are making a change and using their voice to utilize the platform that they have to be able to make a change, and I applaud them for it. It's just a different climate, social climate today than it was in the past.
Yeah,
for sure.
And then this last one, these are the guys marching on our storied university.
Yeah,
the neo-Nazi. Where were you when you heard of this? What were your thoughts?
Man, I was right in front of the TV, and I couldn't believe, man. I could not believe what I was actually seeing. And all I could think about was if I was in Charlottesville, because I was roommates with football players, and I knew how those guys, you know, acted. And, man, it would have been some confrontations, man. you know what I'm saying? Because
yeah, for sure.
It was a lot of that we felt, you know, back when I was in school, but it was hidden, and we were talking about it as student athletes back then. For that to happen on our campus, and I can remember just being associated with the friends on grounds that I knew, a lot of players would have gone right and been right in the middle of all of that.
Right,
and, you know, it could have been. It could have been a lot different. But.
That's awesome. And then the last question I had for this little series, didn't have a photo for it, but we talked to JJ about you moving on and having your own program at some point. Where is your head at with that? Is that something, is a goal or aspiration? Or are you open to, obviously, NBA? Is it college? Like, is there a certain thing that you're looking at, or is it all the options open and you just take them as you see them? Or
look, man, all of my options are open right now. I'm learning from one of the best in the business. You know, Coach Jones has won over 500 games as a head coach. Coach Jones changed my life when I was a young man at the University of Virginia. Him helped recruit me to Charlottesville, and he's changing my life now. He's invested in my career as a man for over 40 years, and you know that cannot be overlooked.
Right.
I don't care about, you know, where that opportunity may come. You know, all I want to do is continue to help Coach Jones do the best job possible here at Old Dominion University. And whenever that chance comes, hopefully I'll be ready to be able to leave my mark on a college program in the game of basketball. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
For my segment, so be nice. We do this every time. BJ absolutely passed. It's your criteria. It can be your best friend, the best player, whatever, but you're Mount Rushmore of Virginia basketball, and you get five. It doesn't have to be the five positions. The five best dudes you think in the history of Virginia basketball.
And not include myself, right?
Nah, you if you don't include yourself, you're wrong. that's gonna be on you.
Fresh, then. You know how I am, man. Now, so why would you ask me a question like that? Why would you ask a question? If anybody knows me, why would you ask me a question like that?
What? Because everybody gets asked a question, and you're one of the main authorities on the right answer. Just so you know, Junior Burrow, I think, made himself four out of the five.
You know the difference between Junior and I. I'm gonna give you my five, excluding Bryant Stiff. Okay.
All right. That's fair.
These are my five: Ralph Sampson, Jeff Lamp, Malcolm Brogdon, Barry Parkhill, and
the fifth one's always a tough. And if you take too long, my head goes up on the mountain, for the record.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of players back in the day. I'm trying to think of players. I'm struggling right now between Sean Singletary and Wally Walker. I would say one of those two.
Oh, wait. I appreciate this. Was an honor to be able to talk to you. You know that for me, it's extremely special. Thank you for taking the time.
No, this was great, man. I enjoyed it. Again, man, I'm sorry about the delay, man, but I told Fresh that I called Fresh up and told him it was about that time, man, that I made it through my challenges and I was back focused. And thank you guys for having me on.
No.
I'll ask some tough questions too, bro. Y'all try to start it up.
They went deep a little bit, right?
Oh, no doubt, man. No doubt. No doubt.
We try. I don't know how well we do, but we try.
We didn't have Mark on long today. Other stuff going on, but so his son Ty Jerome, obviously a national champion, one of the greats. Speaking of Mount Rushmore, you can make an argument. But since you're a basketball coach, he grew up coaching his sons, and very tough on him. BJ gave us a lot of coach kids stories, not dad's kids. And I want to let you know, Mark Jerome, since I've known him, he never thought Ty Jerome was going to get in the game at Virginia. He was just like, he's like, man, Fresh. He's like, dude, I hope we get some playing time this year or whatever. And then we're at the finals. We're all out in mini together. And it's like the final game. Like, dude, let's go. We're going to get it tonight. How's Ty? He goes, man, I just hope he gets to play tonight.
He did more than play. I can tell you that.
Yeah, he did.
But I don't have to play for school.
Yeah.
That's what it's about, right?
That's it, man. I got four kids. I'm blessed, man. I didn't have to pay a dime. Only thing we had to do was pay attention.
That's incredible. That's incredible to have four kids and not have to pay for school.
That is amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, we need to shout out mom, my girl Barbara Stith. By the way, she's lucky her name started with a B when you met her.
Imagine it was her idea to name all these daggone kids with bees, man. I get so confused when I get mad, man. Everybody, you know who I'm talking about.
You know who.
That's an old Southern thing. My grandma used to do that.
I'm trying to tell you. But look, man, Fresh, you know, man, me and my old lady, man, we've been dating ever since we were 13, man. So
Princess forever. She was part of our squad too, man.
That's it. Amazing. See my mouth right there. She all five heads.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's a great accomplishment. Congratulations on that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Obviously, condolences again on your dad passing.
Yeah, Norman.
Our thoughts and prayers are with you, definitely.
Dad's in a better place, man. Dad had his first stroke in 2008. And, he had a second one in 2009. And that one confined him to a wheelchair. And, from 2015 until this year, man, he just struggled with his health, man. And, so he's not suffering. He's not in any more pain. And as selfish as we want to be, man, we're glad that, he doesn't have to go through that anymore.
So that
I was I was telling BJ some of the Norman Stith stories in our locker room back in the day. Do you remember we'd be up in like pregame talk and he'd bust in there? Let's go, boys. What y'all got today? Let's go. We're like, Coach Jones trying to do this. And they're like, sorry, that's B Nice's dad. He can do whatever he wants.
Hey, people in Brunswick call him Storm and Norman because people never knew when he was going to bust through the phone.
He would come in.
Cool, man.
But, dude, he loved all of us, man. He treated us like his own.
I was going to say, BJ talked about, like, you know, the tough upbringing in terms of, like, you know, I wouldn't say tough, but, like, Brandon chipping his tooth and playing through it. And, like, obviously you led through that, but it's a different time, different rules and all that. How do you manage that? But, like, you were obviously, you know, like many of us from the country, but you just.
My only thing, man, I just wanted to give my kids an edge. You know, as long as you got an edge, then you got a chance. You can separate yourself, you know, from your chance, from everybody else, because you're going to experience tough times, man. And you look at that championship team at Virginia, if those dudes didn't have an edge, man, they would have folded, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so that's the credit to you, how you raised your son, you know, Ty and Kyle and, I mean, DeAndre, all of those dudes, man. I don't know them personally because I'm not that close with the program. But you cannot accomplish what you did after going through having the lows of what you did, you know, the previous year. So, you know, that's what I try to help, you know, give my kids.
That makes me feel better than when I didn't feed him after he had bad games while he's growing up.
Oh, man, you too? Look, man. Look, now. Now, before I met Barbara, now, you know, I used to have little games, so – when I used to feed my kids after AAU games, I said, look, we go up to the door, and I heard it was a young lady. I said, all right, now, if y'all don't say something nice to her when y'all get this window, you're not going to eat. DJ used to spit game. Oh, I like your hair. Brandon was so shy. I used to drive 20 miles before I give Brandon his Big Mac.
That's awesome. Listen,
you can't be scared of females, man. You got to be able to spit game, bro. So we used to have a lot of fun, man, growing up, man. So
that's the best. BJ was talking about how tough you were as a coach, giving him that edge, etc. And he's like, you know, he's telling me about when he played in Virginia, how everybody's yelling at him all the time. I'm like, BJ, I got to do a 20-second timeout. I don't know about his first year, but after your dad's first year, ain't nobody yell at Brian Stith.
Oh, my first year? Oh, hey, Fresh. My first year, Dave Odom used to give it to me, bro.
What?
You hear me?
And like Coach JJ Holland, on me.
And Coach Holland got sick. And Coach Holland missed like a week. And he basically set me on the bench. I start. I wouldn't play no more the first half. Sat on the bench, didn't play no more of the game. So the following year, I don't know if you remember, you know who I got my career high against?
Wake Forest.
Wake Forest.
Like, yeah, third.
Double overtime, triple overtime. We had an overtime.
One overtime, yeah.
And yeah, hit the bucket. I'm talking about the on the baseline.
Yeah, over two. Yeah, you scored the last 10 of 12 or something like that, I think it was.
I went to karate before the game, and I was like, yo, bro. You know what time it is. I got you, B. That's all he said. He said, I got you, B.
Did Odom say anything to you after the game?
Huh?
Did Odom say anything to you after the game?
No, we just shook hands. Well, I said, good game, coach. You know, good game. Yeah,
so yeah, I was going to say, what about now with BJ and Brandon playing overseas? And they're playing overseas together. Like, what advice do you give them? Do they come to you? Do you guys, like, talk about next steps for their career? Are you part of that, or do you let them just lead their own lives?
Oh, absolutely, man. You know, and my first state championship team, man, I had Brandon, BJ, and this kid by the name of Javonte Green. Javonte Green went to Radford, second all-time leading scorer, leading rebounder, second in steals, all-time at Radford. He went overseas, in 3 years, worked his way up the ranks. And this past year, he made the Boston Celtics NBA roster with their last pick. Wow. So I told them, I said, look, man, you guys don't realize how close you are to realizing your dreams. you can take the same path as Javonte. Your path is different than mine. I was drafted, but that doesn't mean you can't still reach your ultimate goal. So continue to put in the work. You never know who's watching. You may get an opportunity, and that's the only thing you want is a chance. And if you get a chance, then the rest is up to you. So that's my message to them. Have fun, enjoy it, save your money.
That's for sure. That's awesome.
Brian, it was a real pleasure again. Thanks,
man.
A lot.
It's awesome, man. I appreciate you guys, man. Love Absolutely. You guys. Love you guys much, man. Fresh.
Hope to have you back on.
Love you, boy.
Hey, man, just give me a call, man. I love it.
Hey, yeah. Absolutely.
Appreciate it. You're the best, man. Say what's up to everybody, all right?
I'll see you soon. I most certainly will, man. I'm going to go get some dinner, man.
Yeah. Be safe.
All right, man. I'll take care.
All right, now.
Take care.
Bye, B.
Anderson fakes the pass and sends it down with a tomahawk slam. Short. That's the winner here. On the front. This is what you have to do. Back for the tournament. Off the glass, count it, and one, Jim Jerome.